fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day. Here we are in the second week of Advent, that season of the year when the church, we set aside time to remember, to reflect on it, to open our hearts more fully to the two comings of Christ. The one we all know so well is that we celebrate and remember the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great game-changing reality when heaven established a beachhead here on the earth in the person of Jesus Christ, who takes on human flesh, becomes one of us, so that he can save us by giving to God what belongs to God, what every human being was meant to give to God, and more in his passion, death, and resurrection, making it possible for us to be able to be saved, as Scripture says, to be able to come into a relationship with God, to be from death to light, life from darkness to light, to be able to share in what belongs to Jesus, and to become, by adoption, becoming children of God. We're given this extraordinary gift because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that's what we remember in this season, that it truly happened. Son was born of a virgin. Tomorrow we celebrate the feast of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of Our Lady. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. But how God has, in his son Jesus, the second Adam, and through Mary, the second Eve, really, the new Eve, he's bringing about his full intention for the human race, to make us sons and daughters of God that can live in communion and union with God forever. It's such an important time for us to slow down now in this season, to make sure we give time each day, maybe to go to Mass, if you can't get to Mass each day, to be able to just get some time alone in prayer, bring the rosary, reading the Scripture, meditating on the gift of Jesus. Christmas is a time of gift-giving, and the whole culture gets excited about the gift-giving. But as is talked about every year, the culture is consistently and more completely, you might say, forgetting the real gift. And the reason gifts are given in the first place is because God initiated the giving by giving us his beloved son. That Christmas is a time of rejoicing. It's a time of hope because the darkness has been dispelled. That light has come into the world. That it's possible for the human race to know where I've come from, why I'm here, where I'm going, what's the purpose of my life. And ultimately, light that enables us to see God, to see our Father, and to come into a relationship with him, and to become a new creation in his Son. The second coming, we also focus on in this season. The fathers of the church used to speak about it, preach about it, and throughout our history, the church looks in both directions. The first coming of the Lord and his second coming, his return. Because this is now the phase and the stage of human history that we are all living in. The time between the two comings of Christ, the last hour, the final age, Scripture talks about it in that way. The Catechism reminds us that this is the time of the church, that the church made for this period in history, because the church was born of the Holy Spirit that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, risen and exalted at the right hand of the Father. And he established the new creation in his own flesh. He established a beachhead on the earth so that the message of the gospel, the good news, the mercy of God and the power of God to bring about conversion and transformation of life is extended from Christ to his church. The church has born of the Spirit, has the power now and the responsibility and the commission from the Lord himself to be his instrument in this time, this last phase of human history, to bring mercy to the world. To bring God's mercy, to bring salvation to the world, the forgiveness of sins, new life in the Spirit, to become a new creation, to share in what belongs to Christ. But in this season, it's important for us to see what the Scriptures teach us so clearly, and the Catechism reminds us that this time will come to an end. We say it every Sunday at Mass. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. It's important for us to take time to remember, because we don't know the day or the hour, and Jesus makes it so clear, and we'll see readings that relate to this throughout this season. This is a time of vigilance, a time to be alert, a time of urgency. It's the church that holds the burning candle of light for a world that's in darkness. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, right? You're the salt of the earth. And there's always the battle. It's easy for us to fall asleep. It's easy for the light to go dim or the salt to go flat. He may never come, or if he comes, it's going to be a long time from now. It's difficult to keep that sense of urgency in our spirit. And it's impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's important for us to understand the reason the church gives us these seasons is not only for us to remember, but to remember so that today we can be stirred again to live the life that the Master calls us to, that literally he expects from us as his disciples. Some of the most difficult parables that Jesus gave, the hardest ones to listen to, were the parables of the servants who just refused to stay on watch, those who left their post, those who got distracted. Jesus' words and a whole series of parables are strong against those who are called his servants, his disciples, who fall asleep on the job. It's easy to do because in many ways, friends, we have the battle with the flesh within us, that fifth column internally that wants to be focused on my own pleasure, my own comfort, getting the most out of this experience on life that I can get for myself, the one that I want. There's that internal battle, but then the world is really set up to put us to sleep, to distract us from what really matters, to overvalue things that don't matter and undervalue things that matter completely, that are the most important things. That we're living in that battle, so it's easy to be slowly put to sleep. Sometimes it can feel like walking in a fog. We can't see clearly. These special seasons of the year, Advent, Lent, these are times for the church to gather around Jesus again with a single-hearted devotion, so that we can ask the Lord, we can allow the readings and the preaching of the church and the ministry of the church and the celebrations that we're entering into to lift us, to purify us, to prune us, to help bring us to the place, again, where we're alert and ready to fulfill the mission that the Lord has given to us. That's really the purpose of these seasons in the life of the church. And what I'd like to do today and throughout the week is just take a cue from the catechism, the different things the catechism has to say about the Lord's return, about what he's doing right now and our role and responsibility in responding to that and following him at this time. Tomorrow I want to talk about, in particular, Our Lady, Mary, the perfect disciple, the one who's the model for us and who's been crowned by Jesus, who's been crowned by the Father as a disciple who is the perfect model for each and every one of us. And so but today I want to start with some sections from the catechism on the profession of faith, the profession of chapter 2, really, article 7, talking about the return of the Lord. He'll come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, because it's so appropriate for this season of the year. In paragraph 68, here's how this section begins. Quoting Romans, the fathers write this: Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Just that one line is worth meditating on for this entire season. Because Scripture is so clear now, the Holy Spirit's speaking to us and saying, why did Jesus die and why was he raised to the right hand of the Father? Christ died and lived again so that he might be Lord. That's the bottom line. He didn't come just to die. He didn't come just to rise. He didn't come in the incarnation just to identify with the human race intimately, which he did. But it was all for a purpose. Jesus Christ was, by the command of the Father, called to save and to rescue the human race by becoming one of us. And in him is all the power, all the glory, all the majesty, all the authority that enables him to do that. He now sits at the right hand of the Father as the King of all things. Everything belongs to Jesus. He said, all authority in heaven and earth belongs to me. He's in charge. He's the Almighty. He's the Lord. And we'll see in 1 Corinthians 15 that it's the Father's plan that Jesus would bring all things in subjection to him, that Jesus' commission from the Father was not just to take on human flesh, not just to die on the cross, to rise again, but that he would come and sit at the right hand of the Father, and the Father would give over to his faithful Son all authority over everything. Everything belongs to Jesus. And the commission that has been given to Jesus is to bring everything now under his feet that is under the authority of Jesus, to bring about unity, to bring about one family, to bring about the healing of the human race, and to break the power of the rebellion and the division and the indifference that's present in the human heart, to offer salvation to the world. That's what salvation is. Salvation is receiving the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, which leads us to repentance and turning back toward God and entering the waters of baptism so that old man in us that resists God can be put to death and we rise now a new creation. We rise now being able to participate in the victory and the glory of Jesus. We become a new creation. The new creation that has begun in the person of Jesus, the new humanity, the new man is Jesus Christ. And each one of us are baptized into him and we're united to him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that new life begins to flow in us that flows from him and from his throne at the right hand of the Father. That's how the Father has commanded Jesus to bring about a unity, to create one new man, to create a new family, the family of God. And all things now are being subject to him. Let's continue this paragraph. It says, Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity in God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord. He possesses all power in heaven and on earth. He is, quote, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. For the Father has put all things under his feet. Christ is Lord of the cosmos and of history. In him, human history and indeed all creation are set forth and transcendently fulfilled. That's kind of a big word there, transcendently fulfilled. But the whole of God's creation is going to be renewed by the power of Jesus Christ. It already has begun. The new age, the new creation, the new humanity, it's all begun in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's bringing about its fulfillment. The clock is ticking in this final stage of human history, this stage of mercy, when God is calling all men everywhere to repent, to turn away from whatever path they're on that's not related directly to God, the God who reveals himself in Jesus Christ. He's offering mercy to the whole world. The church exists, and why the church needs to be fed in this season like Advent with vision and clarity, and then fed by the Spirit, fed by the sacraments and the preaching of the church to be who we are called to be now, to not waste our time or lose our way and become distracted, but to get radicalized, to be totally surrendered to the person of Jesus. Be that missionary you were born to be and let your life now be a light and let it shine for Christ while you still have time. There's a deep sense of urgency that ought to characterize us that the Lord wants to give us in this season as his gift. Hope you can tune in tomorrow, friends. God bless you and have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.